Good morning. Morning. Okay, it's 1041. You should all have a Bible near you, hopefully, to get. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those there who are ill and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it."
Great, thanks very much. Pleasure. Well, do keep your Bibles open at that passage. Why don't we pray together as we begin? Father God, we thank you that you are the God of all gods. You are the King of all kings. We thank you, Father, that you speak to us through your word. And we pray now, Father, that as we go through this chapter, that you would indeed speak deep into our hearts. You would convict us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this past week, I've had the joy of attending two commissioning services. The first one was for Josh, who has been appointed as our pastor in training. And the second one was for Xander, who's been appointed as our youth apprentice at Caution Baptist Church. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the word commissioning. We don't use it a lot nowadays, but it's simply a worship service where someone is set apart, prayed for, and sent out to serve in a particular ministry role. And both of those events were really joyful times. Many of you would have been there in person last Sunday, and many of you would have been watching online. I had the privilege of going to Exeter with Matt and Bev and seeing Xander be commissioned. It was a moment to celebrate God's call on his life, a moment to affirm the gifts that God has given to him, and a moment to send both Josh and Xander out with blessings and prayers for what lies ahead. Now, this passage tells us that Jesus did the same thing for his disciples. As you know, he commissioned his 12 apostles. And here in the passage this morning, in Luke 10, Jesus commissioned and sends out 72 others to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom. And here's the thing. This mission wasn't just for those 72. It's for all of us as well. If you belong to Jesus today, you too have been entrusted with Jesus' global mission. The moment you became a Christian, your life radically changed. You see, Jesus' mission isn't just for pastors. It isn't just for trained ministry workers. It's for every follower of Jesus. For you and all of Jesus' followers, all of Jesus' disciples, if you're a Christian this morning, Jesus says to you, you are appointed. I have commissioned you to go out. So we're not merely spectators. We don't just turn up at church and spectate. We are participants in God's mission. And in this passage, Jesus shows us what mission looks like for his disciples. So if you're like, we're standing there with the 72 and we're listening to what Jesus is saying to them, but it's also applying to each one of us this morning. And that's what I want you to think in your minds as we go through each of the sections. Now, I've broken them up. On the screen, you will see them broken up. But number one, Jesus says, see the harvest, it is plentiful. See the harvest, it is plentiful. The first thing Jesus tells his disciples in verse 2 is, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus doesn't say there. Jesus doesn't say the harvest is small. He doesn't say the soil is barren. He says the harvest is plentiful. That means that people everywhere are ready to hear the good news of Jesus. I wonder if you believe that. You see, the real issue is not the readiness of the harvest. Jesus says there's loads of people ready to hear the good news, but it's the shortage of workers. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus urges his disciples with these words, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Or think of a farmer. When the field is ready for harvest, the farmer doesn't go on holiday. He can't delay. If he waits too long, the crop spoils. So Jesus is saying the harvest is now. Today, as much as back then, for your friends, the people in your neighbourhood, the people you work with, your family, among your colleagues and friends, people are searching, longing, open to hear the good news of Jesus. Now that's quite a culture shift, isn't it? Because I think, we tend to think, no one's interested. No one's interested in Jesus. And yet, we are seeing or experiencing this thing in the UK at the moment, which some are calling a silent revival. Have you heard of that? The silent revival, where people are wanting to know more about Jesus. In fact, a survey done between 18 to 24-year-olds on church attendance says church attendance has risen in that age group from 4% in 2018 to 16% in 2024. That's astonishing. That is proof that the harvest is plentiful. We've got to believe that. We've got to believe Jesus' words. So what do? Do we sit down and arrange a meeting and talk about strategy and technique? Do we chase the latest book or program promising results in evangelism? The silver bullet of evangelism for 2025? Well, those things can be useful, but they're not the answer. Because here's the danger. When we sit down to plan, we start thinking that the power lies in the method, in our calculations. Well, if I just do A, B, then we'll get result C. But friends, the power is not in us. The power is in God. That's why Jesus tells us, firstly, in this passage, to pray. In James 5:16, it says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." So our first step is always we fall to our knees. We pray. We pray for the people in our communities who don't yet know Jesus. We name them. Who are the local people in Neston? Who are the local people in Rudlow? We bring their names before the Lord. And we ask the Lord of the harvest to help us to be fruitful as workers. To help us engage and build relationships. And then we go out in God's power. You see, the good news is that God already knows who is ready to respond and receive him. God knows the harvest field better than any of us, and God will draw people to himself. Our role is to pray, to speak, and trust in the power of God. Remember, it's God's power, it's not our own power. So that was number one. Number two, step into hostility. We are to step into hostility. We are lambs among wolves. See, Jesus doesn't sugarcoat the message. Go, he says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Well, Jesus certainly knows it won't be easy. There will be risk involved. And if you notice, he hasn't said at the beginning, pray for your protection. He knows there'll be risk involved. There will certainly be opposition, and some will reject Jesus, and some will reject us because we belong to Jesus. And that can feel intimidating, can't it? Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Yesterday, Lorna, Johnny and I went for a walk past the King Edward School playing fields in Bathampton. I don't know if you know where that is. And there was a rugby match taking place. And as I looked at that rugby match taking place, I thought, what is it going to be like for a young year seven, just started at the school in September, standing on the field with his brand new rugby kit, looking at what he's just about to face? That is pretty intimidating, isn't it? I mean, I imagine that person would feel daunted, overwhelmed, I just want to go home, and really scared, actually. You see, stepping out for Jesus can feel like that, can't it? It can feel daunting. It can feel scary at times. But unlike that young player, we need to remember we are never alone. We are never alone because the Spirit of God goes with us wherever we are. The Holy Spirit will help us to be courageous and bold. See, God will provide for us physically and spiritually. Spiritually, we have the Holy Spirit. Physically, we're not to go on our own. You see, in this passage, Jesus sends out the 72 disciples in pairs for a reason. It's better to go in pairs, mutual encouragement and support, and encourages us to do the same. If you've ever done street evangelism, you'll know how much easier it is when you're not on your own. At the ministry leaders meeting this week, we just reminisced about the carol service last Christmas when we went out into the streets of Neston and sang carols. And one of the comments was, it was so good, I wasn't on my own. It was so good, we weren't on our own. Because whilst some sang the carols, others were able to go and knock on doors, speak to different residents and offer treats to them. And it was great doing it part of a team. And that is exactly what Jesus encourages his followers to do. There is encouragement working together. There is confidence in teaching together. And we learn from each other when we work together. So what does Jesus mean about these wolves? Well, I wonder what wolves might silence you from speaking to people about Jesus. I wonder if some of you this morning can think instantly what it is, that barrier that stops me speaking about Jesus. Is it a fear of ridicule? Is it embarrassment? Perhaps you feel inadequate. I don't know all the answers. Well, the truth is that none of us actually know the answers, all the answers. And that's okay. Because the power isn't in us, it's in God. The power isn't in us, but in God. So instead, you can ask questions of your own. If someone says, well, you can't trust the Bible, you might be tempted to think, right, I've got to have the perfect long defense ready to go. But it's actually much easier and much, much more helpful to ask, well, why do you say that? And then listen to what they have to say. You can learn a lot just through listening. See, no one expects you to give a huge gospel presentation to every stranger you meet every day. But we trust God to work in someone's life. We trust the Holy Spirit to open up someone's heart and bring conviction. We trust in God's sovereignty. Why not think of yourself as a gentle stepping stone for someone's faith? You know, thinking practically, we can encourage people with, well, that's an answer to prayer. Well, can I pray for you? God is good. The best thing about my weekend was going and seeing my church family. These are all ways to open up conversation without expecting you to have all the answers. And of course, we can learn and we can share Bible verses with people. And then God will speak through his word. Jesus acknowledges the dangers of sharing the gospel, but he also assures us that the mission is eternally worth it. So you and I can step out in faith for Jesus because we're never, ever alone, physically or spiritually. So number three, we are to stand in dependence, trusting Christ for every need we have. Jesus tells his disciples, do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. Now, what does Jesus mean by that? Well, I don't think he's saying go barefoot when you go to tell someone about Jesus. We've got to think about the context of the time. In this passage, he tells them not to take all these extras. But later on in Luke's gospel, he does say, take a coat, a bag. He even says, if you don't have a sword, sell your possessions to buy one. So he can't be saying to us, go and sell all your possessions, then go out and do evangelism. We've got to think about the context of the passage. In fact, what he is saying is, don't take extras. Don't carry backup plans that make you trust in yourself instead of me. The mission is always about dependence on God. And every meal they ate, every roof they slept under, it was meant to remind them that God would provide everything that they needed. I wonder how much you think like that on a day-to-day basis. Do you believe that God will provide everything that you need, just as you need it? Or do you have the Amazon app on your phone, just in case you need something extra? No sandals means don't cling to possessions, comfort, or control. Travel light in your mission and trust in God. Now, for that, it might mean, for us, stepping into a ministry even if you don't feel ready. Giving generously, even when it feels safer to hold back your finances. Trusting God with your future, even when you don't have every detail figured out. The lesson is simple for number three. God provides for those he sends. Jesus has called you, he's commissioned you, he will supply everything you need. Number four, we're to speak the message, peace with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus tells the disciples, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. Now, peace here is more than just a polite greeting. It's the peace of being reconciled to God through Jesus. It's the gospel. And the gospel is good news. Because of the cross, our sins are forgiven, our relationship with God is restored, and this is the peace offered to everyone. This is the global mission. Peace with God is offered to everyone through Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful part. You have your own unique story to tell about what Jesus has done in your life. So we're not to rely on other people to do all the work of evangelism. Now, Jesus has given you your own unique story to tell and share with other people. You know better than anyone else how God has changed your life. And you notice Jesus doesn't tell the disciples what to say. The disciples are not given a script and a method in their back pocket. Why is that? Because there isn't just one method to reach people for Jesus. God has given you unique relationships, gifts, and ways of speaking that he can use. So we don't all go into Neston and speak the same like robots. We don't all turn up in Rudlow and say exactly the same words to everyone we see. There is no particular way to do evangelism, and it's better not to use a technique that's going to hinder you from talking to someone about Jesus. Jesus says some will welcome that peace that Jesus offers with joy, and others will reject it, or they won't be interested in hearing what you've got to say. In verse 14, I won't go through all those verses, but it may surprise you who will accept and who will reject the message of Jesus. It's important to remember that our task is not to force anyone, it's simply to deliver the gospel. I want you to think of yourself like a postman, if that helps you. See, the postman doesn't decide what the recipient does with the letter. He just delivers it. And that's our role, faithful messengers of Jesus. I've got this really great news. I'm going to deliver it, and I'm going to let God do the rest. The outcome is in God's hands. Number five, we are to share the joy, rejoice in heaven's victory. And when the disciples, the 72, came back from this mission, the passage says they were buzzing. And they said to Jesus, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus affirms them. Satan's kingdom is being overthrown because the gospel is being preached. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That doesn't mean that Jesus literally saw Satan fall, but he's saying that the kingdom of Satan is defeated that easily, like lightning from heaven. In other words, Satan's power lies in his ability to deceive and accuse. But with sin paid for at the cross and peace with God achieved, Satan's power is left useless and he is completely defeated. The disciples are told that they have power to defeat serpents and scorpions. And here Jesus is not talking about those individual insects. He's talking about demons and dark powers. See, the person of God with the Holy Spirit has the power to defeat demons and dark powers. But then Jesus redirects their joy and he says to them, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that's what we need to remember. Our greatest joy is not on what we do for God, but in what God has done for us. Ministry, success, rises and falls. Victories come and go. But one thing never changes. We belong to Jesus. And that means our names are written in heaven. I don't know how many of you like football, but imagine your favourite team wins the championship. So you and the fans celebrate even though you never even got your foot on the ball. And why is that? Because you share in the victory. And that is what it is like with Christ's victory. Not because of our strength, but because of his triumph at the cross. And that's where our joy rests, not in our performance, but in our salvation. And that completely changes the way you think about things. See, in verse 23 and 24, Jesus is saying, you are blessed more than anyone else. Never lose sight of your own salvation and how astonishingly blessed you are. There are many saints in the Old Testament who would love to have seen Jesus bring the gospel, and they didn't see it. And yet we have the promises of God. We have full understanding through Jesus. When the lifeboat alarm sounds, what do? They don't stand there and debate whether or not to launch. People are drowning. They get in their boat and they go. And that's what we need to do. The harvest is plentiful. People are ready to hear. Will we fulfill our mission of evangelism? Now, I want you to hear this clearly this morning, because it's not about guilt, what I haven't done. It's about grace. It's not about pressure. It's about the privilege that we have knowing Jesus. See, last week, Josh and Xander were joyfully commissioned to go and make disciples for Jesus. And I don't want you to miss that every one of you in here has been commissioned too. Jesus himself is sending you out. He equips you with his spirit, and he goes with you in his power. He promises you joy, not in what you do for him, but in what he has done for you. So as a congregation, I want us to think, let's step into Jesus' mission with confidence and with great joy and delight. Let's pray together this morning. Just take a moment to think what God might be saying to you in this passage this morning. Jesus doesn't condemn you for your lack of evangelism, but he wants you to delight in him. Gracious Father, we thank you that the harvest is abundant and that you have called us to labour in your fields. Father, please strengthen us as we go out as lambs among wolves, reminding us that our safety and sufficiency are found in you alone. Teach us to depend on Christ for every need and to boldly proclaim the good news of peace with God through Jesus. Father, please fill our hearts with joy, not in our accomplishments, but in the assurance that our names are written in heaven. Father, please send us out with courage, faith, and joy in your victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.